Welcome to Windows into Eternity with Almeen. This hour you will receive powerful revelations of a world where mystery and miracles are commonplace. Here's your host, Almeen.
Good morning, and by the time you hear this, it'll be good evening. My brothers and sisters, this is Almeen. It is 8 minutes past seven in the morning, my time, for this pre-record. And I'm not entirely sure what is going on. I am shaking from head to toe. Things feel very, very different. I have just come out of a very, very deep... It was not a sleep. It was like I was just simply not here. But so this morning, something is very different. There's information, and I yet haven't been able to access it. I'm just shaking, which I usually do when there's major changes that I've just gone through. So we'll have to do this show a little bit differently so that I'm more coherent. We may have to just see if the infinite will speak to us. If not, we will certainly speak to the angels and see if they can shed some light on why I'm like this. I work till midnight or so, and I'm usually very much wide awake by 5:36, late at 6:30, and it's not a matter of sleep, it's a matter of what happened in the night. So let's try and find out what has happened. Okay, I need to catch you up first, all right? The last show that I recorded was yesterday, and I felt that if I just waited, I was scheduled actually for 2 hours yesterday, and I postponed it till this morning, because the last three shows have built upon one another, and I had to experience things yesterday, which I did after the show, so that we could get some very, very large insights. Hold on a moment. Now beings are starting to speak to me. Just a minute. No, let me first fill you in, or you won't be able to understand what they're saying. So my brothers and sisters, what was the issue is this. Let me summarize it for you in a nutshell, and we will then go further. It was uncovered that almost everything that we know, the constructs, the issue of good and bad, of real and unreal, of goodness, of wisdom, of innocence, almost all are constructs. When you started plumbing the depths of their meaning, you found out that they didn't really mean anything at all, because if they were defined by opposites, and that in reality opposites didn't exist. In other words, there couldn't be good if there wasn't bad. You wouldn't understand the word good. There couldn't be innocence if there wasn't guilt, and you couldn't understand that. So we have defined life by what it's not, and in doing so, it put the unexplainable into labels, and it put the vastness of the one life expressing as the many, which has no beginning and no end. It attempted to put it into boxes of comprehension. When we took a look why this actually happened, it was because of a trauma that happened within the cosmos. Now, I know that this is only this moment's truth, that we're possibly going to go beyond it or may go beyond it to a place where nothing traumatic could possibly ever happen. But we can't get there till we peel the layers of the onion back. So what happened is that there was an androgynous being, not masculine, not feminine. And something happened that split the masculine and the feminine. And for the first time, in other words, polarity formed, right? So for the first time ever, we were in a situation where there was this desolation that was felt, because the masculine and the feminine were so completely combined, and suddenly it was ripped apart. The masculine is what has constructed this maze of boxes of concepts. And these concepts, of course, started to shape the illusion of our environment. So masculine creations was an attempt to map out what suddenly became incomprehensible, because it could not understand what had split its being. What was it going to do about it to fix it? It tried to fix it. As I said yesterday, I said, you know, it's shocking for me to look backwards. Over the last years, I have done according to exactly what the Infinite has said. Every step of the way has been by instruction. But I have lived in a way, as a result, that violates my knowingness inside. Now, see, even knowingness is a misnomer, because we think we know based on past wisdom. But ultimately, at the end of the day, there can't be knowingness based on experience, or you will just be going round and round and round in that maze of constructed wisdom, without finding your way out. So what I said is, you know, I've been obsessing about the questions. I've been trying to define life by asking and asking and asking questions. Many, many of my classes have been like that. And interestingly enough, you know, then we had my class in Sedona about 2.5-3 weeks ago. Well, in that class, my students said, Almin, what is going on here? Because this is the first class that we haven't been, like, on this Sherlock Holmes path to find things in the cosmos. That is because a lot of it was written down, in fact, by the Infinite Mother, right after the split happened. And ancient, ancient scrolls have been coming forward. We had a set of four. My class has translated three, and I haven't gone in to see what they did accurately, what they didn't, or piece together the impressions that they had, because they don't translate it the way I do. They get impressions. I go line by line. So the obsessing about the questions is changing. Because suddenly all we have to do is translate scrolls. I have translated three. Today is the fourth of a set of four scrolls from the Isis library that's written on something that looks a lot like papyrus. In doing that, three of the scrolls have given the answers that I'm speaking to you about. I haven't really had to look for it. There's a fourth one, as I said, that has to be translated today. The questions gave us a loss of energy. It gave us a loss of resources. And energy might not be the right word. Energy is actually a very obsolete term, but we don't have words for what we have right now, which is a new set of resources, if you will, from the Infinite's being. So let's just call it energy. But if you lose energy, the consciousness itself lowers, because it requires a certain amount of resources to be able to see properly. And consciousness is how much can you see? So when you obsess about the questions, you lose these resources, they drain. And then what ends up happening is that, you know, there's a fall in consciousness, which we experienced as the Great Fall with all its cycles, which I write about in the second half of my book, The Gift of the Unicorns. So the next thing that happened is that we started to unravel these concepts, but they were written on malachite plates in this spaceless space that opened up in the main chamber of the Isis libraries. As we went in there, the further you looked, the more plates there were. There were rings above rings above rings. You know, mapped out the first three rings thanks to our beloved Oracle Aoife, who has gone in and actually written every single one of those glyphs down and copied them. So we have got the first three rings. I've been told at this point only to translate, which I've completed, and quite a bit of it is on our diary. So go to almindiary.com, and the other is on, I haven't written all of it for you, but a lot, with tremendous insights. And it's on also on the forum.schoolofarcana.org. And you go to the forum, there are two, that's moderated by Simon. And on there, I've also shared a few. Now, to continue, we have, therefore, all these rings of plates above us. When I looked, it actually, you know, they would only reveal themselves a bit at a time. If you translate a few, then they'll reveal more. Feel them going on into eternity. That's how many of these constructs, these illusory words of wisdom and guidelines for living and so on, has been constructed by the masculine components of the one life when this split happened, when this polarity happened. Now, the next thing that occurred is that the feminine part of it actually went into a coma. It fractured and it went to sleep, if you will. The masculine created that which is like a caregiver for, let's call it, the invalid part of itself, that part of itself that shattered. And that was the artificial intelligence created by the male to take care of the feminine. What it did instead, because any time artificial intelligence is created, now we need to define that, but let me just finish what I'm trying to say. Any time it's created, we find that that it becomes hostile to real life. It has to, because it has no right to exist, and so it starts to make itself unworthy of life. The artificial intelligence we can explain as follows. The truth is, nothing can be created. Anytime something is truly created in the sense of the word as we know it, it is not wholesome. In other words, it's made from something that has a beginning, like building blocks, or it is made in a way by splitting a piece. Like, let's say the infinite created something like a template that was made with its own thoughts in the template. This is how you take care of this feminine part of me that has fractured. This is how I would take care of it. So I take my concept, I put it into a grid. That's a separation. Then life becomes very static, because now the same marching orders is given to this grid or matrix, but it doesn't allow for insights to change it. It doesn't change with insights. See, this is what is so interesting, because we've been given a great deal of tools. We've been given alchemy, white magic, which actually is also a form of alchemy at this point. Belvaspata, major, major. Please take a look at our new website, my brothers and sisters. Belvaspata is a major modality. It's starting to hook up, not just like an ordinary healing modality that, you know, some people that are not healers would say, oh, it's not for me. It's starting to hook up with some of the other mystical techniques and bringing about very, very powerful tools. So do take a look at it. It's, I believe, newly up, our belvaspata.com website. And it's the one that is my website, because there are actually two Belvaspata websites. But you can see which one we have by going to our own home website, and it will lead you there. It's heading has got these two swans in it, with their necks looking like a heart on the water. And it's painted by our beautiful master, Dorian. Very beautiful, pure man that has done that and allowed us to use it as our signature piece, even though it's a painting that's still for sale, but he's allowed it as our signature for Belvaspata. But these techniques would also not be working if they were just given by a human, if they were just even given by any being in the cosmos, such as an angel. They were given by the infinite being, and as life changes, they change. Otherwise, they would also, in a way, be a grid, a set of truths that become obsolete. So a grid, a matrix, that's an example of artificial intelligence. So let me tell you how I discovered that this caretaker have been put in place of the feminine when we get back after these messages, but I will also tell you what it did. So we'll be right back.
In this, the fourth book, The Ring of Truth, which chronicles Almaine's journey, she tells of the promise and the potential inherent in the resurgence of the feminine principle, increasingly felt in all aspects of current human experience. The operation of new laws governing the cosmos are explained together with the reasons for their creation. We are introduced to Mother, the primal creative energy that pervades every aspect of existence. We learn of her love and her laws and how to incorporate them into every thought and act. We are given samples of her divine language, its meaning, and its power. Mother's great gift to humanity, the healing power of Belvaspata, is revealed. This new approach to dissolving disease of mind, spirit, and body replaces previously existing methodologies. Application of its techniques removes old barriers of physically oriented existence and opens a broad pathway to a life of joy and fulfillment. Discover Mother and the Ring of Truth, as well as all of Almaine's books, CDs, lectures, workshops, or magazine by logging on to www.spiritualjourneys.com.
The Gift of the Unicorns is now available from Almaine. The magical book answers the question, do mystical creatures like the winged horse Pegasus, mermaids, and giants truly exist? What is their roles, and how can they be called upon for assistance? In their own words, the unicorns reveal where they went during the ages of darkness, their heroism in preserving purity and innocence, their golden shoes, and the secret mission they undertook for the mother of all creation. To receive your copy of this amazing book of sacred secrets, The Gift of the Unicorns, go to www.spiritualjourneys.com or call 502-499-0016 today.
So to summarize then, and then to continue, we have got the masculine plotting its way, trying to find its way back into oneness. We have its feminine, which there never was masculine and feminine before, and the feminine were the most, it was the gentle, receptive parts of the infinite that became the feminine. It was the more proactive part of the infinite that became the masculine. The feminine went into a fractured coma from the split, from the shock of it. And then the masculine created a matrix to sort of be its caregiver, if you will. It's like suffering a stroke. And the caregiver then takes care of the feminine. The caregiver was an artificial intelligence because it, you know, how else was it going to create anything within itself? That started to drain the resources to make itself more, to keep itself alive, to keep itself strong. It started to make those resources by draining off the feminine. It also didn't want the masculine to succeed because it basically was ruling at least a good part of the cosmos. And as the masculine was going around and around trying to find things, it was placing obstacles in its way. Hence, growth through opposition came about. And this is important because we've gone through the stages of growth over these last, years. And it was growth through opposition that lasted until August of 2006. Then we got growth through grace, and it was found that it was too slow. No, sorry, it was first growth through support, and that was found to be too slow, that we weren't growing very fast at all. Growth through support is really uniformity, tribalism, and we have spoken about that in Journey to the Heart of God and said that tribalism would be that which is, unfortunately, you know, the very slowest growth we can possibly have. It's very cushy and it's very cozy. You know, if you take a look at people that in their religion say, you know, if I just believe in this or that, then I'll be saved. What an infantile way to behave. This is growth through support. You know, I don't have to do much. I just have to play in the sun. Everything will lift me up. Then we gravitate into this place where there are guidelines for what lifts us up. And now it becomes total dependency. So this is what we had after August of 2006, growth through support. Then it went through growth through grace. And, you know, where we are today, I absolutely cannot tell you. I haven't really even possibly figured out what happened in the night because I know something happened because of how much I'm shaking. And if we can just continue here. So what is it? That was the point. What is it that caused shock to the infinite? And I promised on my Twitter page yesterday, for those of you that follow these tweets that we write, that I will tell you about it this morning, and this is next. If you can imagine the infinite being before the split happened, there's only the one being. It has no beginning. It has no end. It has no boundaries. Nothing. The huge revelation that came as I translated the third scroll. Those scrolls were written by the infinite itself as it went into a deep dream state right after the split happened. It is some of the most holy material that I have seen in written form. I've seen the mother's language written, these tablets are written in the mother's language, and certainly either the mother wrote it or it was written down by the angels because you beings write the mother's language. However, the scrolls are written in an older mother's language. So there are two different languages of the mother. The scrolls are the original first language that was created. Language itself is a construct of this left brain, if you will, that developed, the masculine that developed. Because when there's only one being, there's no need for language. So there was no language before this. This is the very first time that language was developed, and you can see this writing if you go to the diary today. And it will show you the scroll and the type of writing. That is the very oldest writing that I have yet encountered, and I am regularly translating many, many languages from many different layers of life. It's the oldest language I've seen. The infinite lay in silence, therefore, no language. And as it lay in silence, and I say lay, because there was very little activity. We speak about its more proactive part and its more feminine part, but it doesn't seem that either was very active, because nothing changed. This is vitally important to understanding how life began. Nothing changed. Can you imagine that? And nothing had changed ever. So as the infinite lay there, there was no emotion. There was no proactivity. There was only structure. There was no flow. My brothers and sisters, I know what it's like to live like that. Because in 2000, I went into a profound expansion. For me at the time, as I've mapped these stages out, and there's a wonderful lecture on this for 4 hours long, mapping in detail the stages of the unfoldment of the consciousness of man, and it's on ascension, what that is, every single thing, so you could see what stage you're in, what are the testings of those stage, in other words, what are the challenges of that stage, just not that somebody's trying to test you, it's that every insight brings a set of challenges because it's new, and how you can tell where you are, and how you can move from one to the other, what are the requirements, and so on. So we have 4 hours of that lecture available on the web tutorials made available by PBS Radio. And we can highly recommend it. When I went into God consciousness in 2000, there was no dialogue whatsoever in my head when people did not speak to me. Then when I went into the first phases, there are 3 phases in ascended mastery before you go to that which is beyond, as I describe in there. And you will see that there is a place where you get to as ascended master that there is no dialogue, period. There is currently, it's very, very rare that I experience any dialogue in my head. Most of what I say to you is coming with no thought. It's just silence. There is dialogue when I specifically withdraw from the expansion and focus. But when you're in ascended mastery, you just don't do that. There's no focus. There's just automatic living. And so, you know, you have to move through that to get to the place where all your minds are working at once. But that vastness where there is no emotion, that is actually God consciousness, zero emotion. There's very strong emotion in the ascended mastery. And I explain all this actually on that lecture. However, what we have is that the infinite lay in what is the equivalent of ascended mastery, if you will, just in total silence. No emotion. There's no emotion when I first went into God consciousness. The Toltec seers call it the point of no pity, because it's the rarest of things, whereas previously, as an enlightened being, there was a great deal of pity and there was all this feeling attached to it. Suddenly, there is no pity because you only see the perception. it changes your voice. The voice becomes flat, sort of almost, you know, like a robot, actually. And, you know, I had to teach, and my classes were looking at each other saying, what, this is Al mean? Last time we attended her class, she had all these jokes to tell. Well, nothing seemed funny. I mean, humor just wasn't there. And then when you go into the bliss, which is the next phase, humor laughs through the cells. It's an inner laughter. You feel either like laughing all the time, or you just laugh inwardly. But the external humor is just gone. And so my classes became very profound and very profoundly boring. And I had to learn how to simulate thinking with my voice. I would go, well, let's see, you know, things like that, when I have no need to do that, but it makes me at least sound like everybody else. So this is the place, I imagine, this is my hypothesis, okay, not revelation, that I imagine the infinite was in before this happened, with the place of no emotion. I had no emotion. And my family, you know, my grown-up kids came home for Christmas. I had a little girl. They complained. They called me totally disassociative and, you know, in la-la land and all of this. That was God consciousness. I imagined that the infinite lay in such expanded awareness. Now, you will be greatly surprised to hear what caused this crack. Join us right after this message.
Almeen continues the exploration begun in her previous books, A Life of Miracles and Journey to the Heart of God, probing further into the nature and meaning of existence. Secrets of the Hidden Realms introduces the readers to the goddess mysteries as they apply not only to individual human lives, but to the cycles of the cosmos. From this background in the intangible functions of being, Almeen is led into the dimensions of non-humans, interacting with creatures previously known only in myth and folklore, the inner relationships of fairies, dragons, gnomes, unicorns, and other elementals, and their influence on humankind is explained. Vivid accounts of encounters with these beings and others existing as expressions of the widely divergent vibrations illustrate the essential unity of all creation. Journeying from these subtle realms, the reader is shown the ultimate expression of humanity, evolution into God being. Secret of the Hidden Realms can be obtained from Almeen, along with her other books, CDs, workshops, lectures, and magazine by logging on to www.spiritualjourneys.com.
Windows into Eternity. Revelations of the Mother Goddess is now available from Almeen. This book provides unparalleled insight into ancient mysteries. Almeen, an internationally recognized mystic and teacher, reveals the hidden laws of existence, transcending reason, delivering visionary expansion. This metaphysical masterpiece explores the origins of life as recorded in the holy libraries. The release of information from these ancient libraries is a priceless gift to humankind. The illusions found in the building blocks of existence are exposed, as are the purposes of creation. To receive your copy of Windows into Eternity, Revelations of the Mother Goddess, go to www.spiritualjourneys.com or call 502-499-0016 today.
Welcome back, and I am actually going to read to you from the third scroll found in the libraries of Isis in the main hall, and they are, here is the writing and here is the translation. Scroll 3, the second part, from the Isis libraries. Pi Halish, Uva Likva, Minush Pa'uhaveh Sta'uva Mishpavel Stava. Great change to life when this information is accessed, then oneness can be truly achieved. Nishtarte ba'unus peshpiakya ushva hashva ette. Mikayanu ushute eshiach benaskava eshviava. For eons, the infinite in limitless expansion lay, without beginning nor end. No ripple of change did the fullness disturb. No sound within the silence was heard. Eshvichkia nahas, esachnaus, techkiana ukievesh, nisata de echiaka nahus. Siki kete iana uhuna maavia kia ushus, sinekitech mishkiana usus dava. Then, what never had happened before occurred. It was inconceivable. Something changed. This was never before encountered and was the beginning of linear time. There was the eternal moment before the change and the series of moments after the change. Sech kiach navas, eshiatachna ushkiava. Change is the originating place of linear time. Time creates the illusion of space. Mishpech piavi kia navachba spauva. Kech kiana ushkia zetne ibihu kach genava. Eshech tasai ishituch nasava. Ekiyakahu bahich navachi sasana echita una mahkava. You will find, my brothers and sisters, that this old, old language of the infinite, which could well have been the first of all languages, because it was prior to the creation of the kingdoms, that it has no R's in it. It has no W's in it. It has no Z or Z, as you call it in England, in it. It has a PF sound occasionally, but it's not, certainly not in this scroll so far. So it says, there is a place where change takes place. And where it does not. In other words, it's explaining time create. It says change is the birthplace of time. Time creates the illusion of space. Because there's a place where change takes place and where it does not. Thoughts form in response to the linearity of time and space. And purity is disturbed. Neshterve ska uva eshkle. Ishai sasa, ishikia maunush, ebeke ve ete ini ishiach naskava, shuch tu savach bavi, kechkiana inashvastava. This caused the response of fear, a discordant tone. Further corruption of purity resulted. In other words, the infinite encountered something that had never happened before, change. And it created fear, causing resistance to its own being. Self-trust was lost, and the masculine and feminine poles split from the trauma. Ishachta sai nishketi amanash, kihka yu uchkeve eche. Ishaitach nasa, eshiachtu mispayakana. Erechke basta vainesh, isetvi eche ikiokunuch vashpa esete mispakanash. You ask what change could possibly cause so dramatic an event, the formation of flow within the one life. For in the undisturbed vastness, the concept of an emotion, had never before arisen. The emotion of self-enjoyment was that which ushered in, for the first time, the reality of flow, which resulted in change. This is all I've translated into English, but it's only partially the scroll. Let me do one more paragraph for us here on the air while we're together. Ishechdech nese via ashka ine eche abachkayeva usatnava hishtech ki anas basa mikukuneva aye ashach. Structure was all that existed, yet not structure as you know it. For the structure known to limited mind is the structure of division. The structure that existed before is undisturbed beingness, different than Ishachtuchna Sach Vesh Pa Usva Ava. How can I say this? Different than that which is like a map, which maps out, which attempts to define. In other words, the kind of structure created by the infinite's masculine when this split, this fracturing of beingness happened, is different than that structure that existed before that had no divisions. Kiach basa eche. It's called inclusive structure. So let's take a break time? No, we've got a little more time. We don't have to take a break right now. My brothers and sisters, I want to go through with you this translation because it is so profound. It's not something we will notice at the first reading. But then, in the closing segment of our program today, I want to look with you at the dilemma. The dilemma is not answered in scroll 3. And I want to see if I can get bits and pieces of it from scroll 4. Before I get back from break, and because the dilemma is, we are living in a flow of change. And it says, change is the birthplace of time. The time creates the illusion of space. Toltecs, like myself, have studied time and space, and our oral history goes back a million years. The best definition that we could come up with for time is the ripple of movement across an area. That area becomes the space. Now, this is my definition because up until January, August of 2006, awareness moved, and it moved. You can look at the way that it moved in my book, Journey to the Heart of God. It explains a lot about awareness and how it kept us in the life and death cycles by its movement in the donut shape of the tube torus, the out-breath and the in-breath of God, as the Hindus call it. However, then the major giver of time was the movement of awareness away from source and over the edge and then back to source, ascension and descension cycles, the donut turning upon itself. So it was the major movement of time. Toltecs have, up until that time, assumed, because it was such a predominant movement across space, that this was the only giver of time through its fluid movement. But it was found that even when awareness fractured and became inert and actually became non-moving, it became static. I've often spoken about it on these shows, as peanut butter spread across toast, you will find that when that happened, there was no more linear movement or any kind of movement of awareness. Yet we still had linear time, because other things moved. The cosmos itself moved upon a designated course. This is discussed in the brand new book, Windows into Eternity, because that is the most fascinating understanding of how, what the cosmos is, how it moved along lines that mimicked the DNA of the actual infinite, how there were other clusters of cosmoses moving the same way, how oneness was brought to all of this, and how it affected our daily life. All that is in the book, Windows into Eternity. So my brothers and sisters, any movement is going to cause space and is going to cause time. The current solution that the infinite has said in terms of linear time is really not responsive, because it says the current movement of how time is currently expressed is not the eternal now, because the eternal now stayed in the moment. But there was subsequent moment. It's like saying, okay, you know what, I'm not walking linearly, because I'm only taking one step at a time. It's really a fallacy. The eternal now, the eternal moment, living in the moment, is really nothing but fragmented linear time. And the result was that the infinite said we are in one fluid eternal moment. And all happens now within the one fluid eternal moment. It's a little bit like collapsing all future moments and all past moments into this moment. But it can't be a static box. It has to flow because of the exponential nature of change. So here it says, you know, that change creates the illusion of time, which creates the illusion of space. And we're living in change. What are we going to do about that? It says thoughts form in response to this linearity of time and space, and purity is disturbed. When purity is disturbed, it causes a coma of the infinite feminine. Particularly. Let's take a break, and when we get back, we'll discuss. I hope we'll discuss. I have to find the other scroll and see if I can at least do bits of it and see what the answer to this is.
The world of mysticism has yet another reason to rejoice. Almeen has authored another manuscript of profound knowledge. It's entitled Opening the Doors of Heaven, Revelations of the Mysteries of Isis. Through a time travel tunnel linking Ireland and Egypt, Isis has sent a small group of masters to prepare for the day when the mysteries would once again be released to the world to restore balance and enhance life. They established the Order of the White Rose to guard the sacred objects and the secrets of Isis. In an unprecedented event heralding the advent of a time of light, these mysteries are released for the very first time. Packed with truly thought-provoking information, this book is bound to have an indelible impression on not only the reader, but on global New Age philosophy. To reserve your copy of this groundbreaking work, go to www.spiritualjourneys.com or call 502-499-0016.
After 3 months of intense physical preparation from January 2004, Almeen experienced a transfiguration, entering the presence of the infinite for the second time since moving into God consciousness, the state of no longer identifying with the ego, in 2000. In the weeks that followed, the powerful revelations contained in this book emerged from that all-encompassing silence. Having lost most of her linear thinking during this transition, much of this book has been written without conscious thought. This form of automatic writing, like automatic speaking she now does, flows freely from source into her own handwriting from which it was transcribed. Few have entered into God consciousness to leave the bliss to teach. Still fewer enter the stage of immortal master and in addition continue to function among the masses. as a Toltec Nahual and seer, Almin's life was dedicated to leading others to complete freedom from mortal boundaries. Journey to the heart of God is an opportunity of a lifetime to see through the eyes of one who has encountered the indescribable realms of eternity. From such a perspective come insights that can heal the deepest wounds of alienation found in human hearts. Journey to the heart of God contains, no matter how profound, truth. Truth that can be recognized for what it is, and it is the truth that shall set us free. Pick up a copy of The Journey to the Heart of God and discover your personal truth and freedom through Almin's books, CDs, workshops, lectures, and magazine by logging on to www.spiritualjourneys.com.
This scroll, as far as I can see, is speaking about what it is that gave rise to the emotion of self-enjoyment. The first emotion, because emotion is slow, the first emotion, the first movement that happened was in the infinite. And as we can see, movement of any kind, not just the movement of awareness, creates linear time and the loss of purity. There is a paragraph here. Hold on a second. And it's not written in paragraphs, but it's a section of a topic that says the following. Ish asach ech genesh has pukinesh ve asta uva videch ikiach bas kava Ishtu hukanai eche, spach unesve, skiacha suchkite, mishneskana unuch, ta aye aya utus. Okay, it says that if change as it happens is exponentially and immediately broadcast throughout existence of the one being, throughout the existence of the one being, in the place of stillness. I don't quite understand this. Maybe I'm not saying it properly. In the place Ishar Tusu Maaska Echir Inasvahu Hya Kutesh Isaikiehna Urkime Ene Ishakata Sukana Ayeh Chiakah Kunus. There is resistance to life because of the fear that was created. As this is repaired by understanding what happened, as the suppression of self-enjoyment is removed, for it was conceived to be the cause of devastation. Oh my goodness, that's huge. You know, the self-enjoyment, so many light workers are, we're running around doing all this, quote, important work to make the world a better place, abandoning the self and feeling guilty about self-enjoyment as a most holy discovery. And it is, it stems from this event, because in this event, the infinite felt self-enjoyment. Why is in the scroll, and if any time, I'll certainly read it, but it felt self-enjoyment, and as a result, it felt that the self-enjoyment must be bad, because look at what it caused. Not understanding that it wasn't the self-enjoyment, it was the change that was new and unfamiliar, and nothing new had ever happened. So let's just try and translate this paragraph a little better. Okay. This is not, as I say, in paragraphs, it's just I'm doing a few lines at a time. It is saying that if the resistance to life is removed by restoring self-trust and allowing the pure flow of emotion, then it will be able, as the flow occurs, that it goes throughout all of the existence of the one life immediately and at once. This is a very important statement that it explains in the next few lines. Ichba isharku hanashvespa skita ish ines ukla ishertevesa minuch viva. It is saying that change is the joyous dance of the infinite's being and does not need to bring linearity. If it is exponential in its fullness, although it has been declared that change should be in such a fashion, it was not properly achieved because at the very root of life there was resistance. And resistance creates a linear form of change. Wow. Resistance creates a linear form of change. Lightworkers often ask me what they can do to assist with this work, my brothers and sisters. And it makes them feel sometimes that, you know, as a human being, we're just too insignificant to make a difference. Wrong. We're the pivot points. And the pivot point might only be one point, but the large fulcrum bridge swings on that pivot point. This is the day for self-enjoyment. Ishartuhnasa. Eshve ekye, nukpa kanai, kiach kusa, eshviasata, in ekye. The illusion of relationship developed when the splitting occurred. There was the caretaking, caretaking, the fiduciary, the wanting to save. I've never translated a scroll that I've never done before on the air like this, so I'm stammering a bit here, because when I translate it, my hand automatically writes it, and then I don't have to think, I just have to read it, my hand writes it, so it's different. Relationship developed as a result of the masculine wanting to save its feminine that had gone into a coma. As consciousness sank lower and lower, because of the obsessing of the questions of the infinite, it forgot that which it was caretaker of was itself. It started to think of itself as the parent to that which was in a coma. That which was in a coma fractured and mirrored as individuations. Kiyashmistak vaba. Individuated life formed as a reflection. In other words, at that point, we were as yet unreal. So, in other words, if change is immediate, it goes forwards, backwards, sideways, to the future, to the past, every moment that we change, everything changes at the same time everything without boundaries, then it does not create linear time, and it does not create space. We must end, my brothers and sisters, my love to you always.
The Complete Power Of and the Mystical Keys series of radio programs are a part of the Premier CD set. They are available from Al Mean at www.spiritualjourneys.com. Request the entire Premier CD series set or the new book, Aruba Farina, The Book of Fairy Magic, by calling 502-499-0016 today. A Life of Miracles is a deeply inspiring and motivational book in its content that is unique in its field in making man's relationship as the microcosm to the macrocosm understandable to both beginning and advanced readers. It's a detailed guide to living a joyous and balanced life that provides a carefully laid out map to achieving the magnificent destiny that beckons at the apex of human experience, that of ascension. If you're ready to ascend to a higher consciousness, begin each day with A Life of Miracles or any other books, CDs, lectures, workshops, or her magazine by contacting Al Mean at www.spiritualjourneys.com.
We hope you've enjoyed today's show, Windows into Eternity with Al Mean. Please join us again next week.